Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
See all of you. You're beautiful people.
Amen.
You really are. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to say or speak on this evening, if I'm going to speak or not. I don't know. So I ask an interest in your prayers while I stand here before you with thoughts on my mind, several scriptures on my mind, lots of thoughts on my mind, and not sure how everything comes together necessarily. However, there's one thing that I do know that we all need is the Lord God.
Amen. Absolutely.
For everything that we do, from getting up in the morning, starting your day there, to going down at nighttime and ending your day there, everything in between, we need God in our lives. We, by ourselves, left to ourselves, we're a mess. We'll be a mess. We've always been a mess, and we'll stay a mess. And we like to think sometimes, because we have this old sinful nature, and we have this thing called pride that we war against on a daily basis, because we tell ourselves that you just have to be proud of yourself, and that you just have to believe in yourself, and that you just have to realize how good you are. And that is that's the way of the world, and that's what we teach our children to a certain extent out here. And I'm not saying I don't want my kids to be happy with themselves. But the fact of the matter is we're wretched. We're left to ourselves. We are inherently evil. We are sinful creatures. We are no good. I'm no good. You're no good. We're all no good. And that's not a fun thing for me to have to say. It's also not a fun thing to hear. But brethren, it's the truth. It's exactly where we are, left to ourselves. But the good news is, we haven't been left to ourselves.
Amen.
We haven't been left in that state. We've been called. We've been chosen. We've been made choice of. Why? Because we did something? No. But because He so pleased, it pleased Him to do so. And in so doing, He loved us in the process. He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, and then resurrected Himself and gave us the promise of that resurrection and the promise of an eternal home in glory.
That's a promise.
I mean a reservation.
Yep.
That you can count on.
Correct.
It's not going to get canceled. It doesn't have terms and conditions. Man, everything with man has a term or a condition, and we've been doing that since the beginning. Well, we'll do this if we can do this. If that, then this. There's a lot of yay and nay with man, but there's yay and amen with the Lord.
Amen. That's correct.
And that's every time, all the time, from the time it started until the time it ends, and it's never going to change. And that's the God we serve, the power of the God we serve. And we should be happy about that. We should be thankful for that. Didn't want to get lost in all that, but
good place to get lost.
Romans 15, chapter 4, verse 4, says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." That means at the time this was written, this was in the New Testament time, Paul's letter to the Romans there, the church at Rome, and says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And patience meaning perseverance, and the comfort of the Scriptures. What Scriptures did they have there in the New Testament times were the Old Testament Scriptures. Those things were given for our learning.
Correct.
That's the Scripture that we had. Today we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the written Word. We have the Son of God, the living Word. So we have it in a more completeness now, but that doesn't change. God's not more complete now than He was then. He's the same. He is the most powerful, the most almighty. There's nothing higher than God.
Amen.
Nothing higher. It's through Him and by Him that all things consist. And why did I tell you that? Well, the reason I told you that is because I want to go to the Old Testament tonight, and I want to spend a little time there talking about some things. Because it's... God has been the same since the beginning, and man has been the same since the beginning. We like to think now that the world is worse today than what it was. And I will say that, yes, the world has waxed worse and worse and will continue to wax worse and worse. It will get worse. But let's not forget that the first man that was made sinned, and in him we all died.
Right.
The first man that was born on this planet was a murderer. The only thing we've ever done as man is begat, sinned, and died. We had some children, we sinned, and we died. And in the process there, God's delivered us from everything that's happened to us along the way. We were in bondage in Egypt, and He brought us out of there. We sinned coming out of Egypt. We wandered in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, He didn't leave us or forsake us. He could have. He'd have been just and right. I want to be careful, but it's a good thing I wasn't in charge. That if you go back and read some of those things, it's kind of where I want to go now. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And again, y'all pray for me. I really need it. I really need it. Y'all need it too. We all need it.
God help us.
1 Samuel chapter 12. This is right after Nahash the Ammonite has come up against Jabesh Gilead there and went to the men of Jabesh and basically said, "Come out here and do some things." And Saul kind of did some things, and people saw what Saul did, and they were ready for a king. They'd already been ready for a king, watching Saul. You go back to 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says, "And said unto the children of..." And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and says, "And said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who Himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto Him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your vows." When I read that, it makes me feel like I'm going to the office. Like when you get called to the office, when the Lord says something like that, it's kind of like what He did in Numbers there, Brother Jason was preaching about earlier, when He said to what Moses said to him, and then He said, "Hey, you go get that and you come back stand before me." What He says here is, He says, "Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." To me, it just makes me think of having to go see the boss. And there's nothing more fearful. chapter 12, we got a king coming here and says, Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. He's told them that I've been here for a long time. Right. I've been amongst you. Samuel was one of the last judges as they came out when they had judges ruling over the people or judging over the people, if you will, making those decisions. And he says, I'm old and gray-headed, and my sons are with you, and I've walked before you from my childhood into this day, meaning you know who I am.
Right.
You know that I haven't taken anything from you. I have done no aught against you. You have known me. You know the person that I am. And you're going to witness it here today before the Lord. Because he's witness against you and his anointing, which he's talking about Saul there, I guess. But he says, you have not found aught in my hand. And the answer, he is witness. And I kind of feel like Samuel's saying there is like, y'all know what I'm about to tell you is the truth. Like, you know me. You know what I'm getting ready to say to you. Or you don't know what I'm getting ready to say to you, but you know I'm not going to tell you something that's not right. I'm not going to deal unfairly with you. I'm going to shoot it straight.
Right.
I'm going to come at you straight. I'm going to tell you how it is. And Samuel said unto the people, picking it up, verse 6, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. A lot of times we as men, we like to look at other men. We like to think somebody else is leading things. Somebody else is running things. Somebody else is in charge of things. We do that. We want to know who the boss is. We want to know who's running things. And what the Lord is telling us here is that it's not Moses and Aaron you're coming to. It's the Lord. It's the Lord that sent them there. It's the Lord that brought you up out of Egypt. It's the Lord that gave you Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron to themselves wasn't leading you out of nowhere.
Right.
Moses and Aaron get you in trouble. And any time Moses and Aaron were left to themselves, that's kind of what happened. When they would turn away from that, that's where they ended up, was in trouble. But it was the Lord. Now, therefore, stand still. Stand still. And listen. Don't move. That's serious. What I'm telling you is serious. Stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your father. When Jacob was come into Egypt, that was a long back from what he was talking about there. When Jacob was come into Egypt, remember when Joseph was there and invited Jacob into Egypt. That's a reminder, a remembrance of how things were. Where things began. When Jacob was coming to Egypt and your fathers cried unto the Lord. Because that's what we do. That's what we do when we get in trouble. We cry unto the Lord. Then the Lord, who hears us, sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. Now here we go again. And when they forget the Lord their God.
Yep.
How often are we guilty of that? I'm guilty.
I am.
I could be coming out of a meet, lifted up, feeling good, go up the road, rejoicing, and so quickly just forget who I am, who I belong to, because of something. Pick it. It could be the text on the phone. It could be whatever I'm listening to. I try not to listen to the radio too much anymore. I try not to watch too much TV anymore, because I find that all of that is just vanity. It's a nothingness. It's not feeding you. It's not helping you. It's not helping your growth. It's not helping you spiritually. It's not helping you naturally. It's just not helpful. It's not healthy. It's poison. It's poison. I don't know how else to put it. Because it lacks God. We've taken God out of everything. We can't talk about that. We can talk about other things. We can talk about all those things. We can talk about acceptance and tolerance. And we can talk about all that. But we can't talk about God. And then we wonder why we're in the state that we're in. We wonder why we're in the trouble that we're in as a country. And I know there's a lot of God's people that, believe me, brethren, the church, yeah, we're God's people, but we're not all God's people. And we're not all of God's people are in the church. God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And there's more innumerable than the stars in the sky, the sands of the seashore. And I don't know how many there is, but that's a lot. It's more than what's in here tonight. So when you think about that, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. They're out here every day toiling. Some of them more zealous than we are. Working hard for the wrong thing. 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. Working hard for something that's already been done. We have it good, brethren. We are blessed. We're blessed to know, which makes it all that much more important that we act in the way that we're supposed to act and walk in the way that we're supposed to walk and do the things that we're supposed to do. And when we walk out these doors, we don't know who we're interacting with. We say we like to be, we know we're supposed to love one another as God's children. Well, if not all of God's children are in the church, how do you know? You might want to be, we might want to think a little bit more about how we treat people when we run into them that we don't know. Because they might be one of God's little children. And they might need a helping hand or a comforting word, or they might need you just to stay out of their way. Instead of putting them down or saying something hateful. And I believe that there's a difference. Even when we think things, it's a sin. But there's a difference in thinking and saying, isn't it, brother? It's like we talked about. Just because you think something, a lot of people say, if you thought it, you might as well go ahead and say it. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because you'll think something, then you'll say it, and then you'll say it, and then you'll have to backtrack on it, and then more likely you'll lie. Now we're up to three. And who knows what we committed in between there. You understand what I'm saying there? But keep going. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against him. Brethren, I don't believe that the good Lord just makes bad things happen. He's not the author of sin. He's not the author of confusion. But I will tell you that when the Lord removes his hand from you, his protective hand, because we are who we are, bad things will happen. That's the reason bad things aren't happening. Because God is protecting us and watching over us. Amen. And he's caring for us. All these times we sit around and think, oh, that just happened. Ain't that funny? This funny thing just happened to me. That's not funny. That's a miracle. That's God working in your life on a daily basis. If you just stop and see. And stop and see the little things that he does. And the little ways that he works. And the little things that he makes happen. And I'm talking about these little small things that seem so insignificant that sometimes we call coincidences. But they lead to big chains of events. And they become extremely impactful. Why is that? Because the Lord is in it. And everything he does is great. Everything he does. Psalms. Just flip over here real quick because I like this. Psalm 126 says, the Lord hath done, verse 3 says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. There's another one in here I'm going to get to if I can find it. The Lord bless me. If not, I'll just go back to where I was. But I don't have to read the scripture to tell you how great the Lord is. Yeah. I know there's a whole psalm in here that I'm looking
for. Psalm 135.
Is it 135
5.
That I'm looking for? Yeah, there we go. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. It's about anywhere you could want to be. Thank you, Brother Gary. Brother Daddy, I love you.
Me too.
Let me get back over here. What I'm saying right there, brethren, is when the Lord removed his hand from that situation and he says, all right, go on, have at it, you're going to fall into the hands of things you don't want to fall into. You're not going to be in a good way. You're going to come up against things that you're not going to be able to overtake of yourself. It's just not going to happen. He'll turn you over to it. Then we'll cry out, because that's what we did. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. Again, here we go. Conditions. If this, then that. That's where we at all the time. We get in trouble now. Help me out. And he does. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know why he does? Because he loves you. Because he loved me. How many times have I done that myself? Where I do something that I know I shouldn't do, and I get myself in a bind, and I say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll get down to the end of this here. And then he says in verse 11, and the Lord sent Jerubbaal, that was Gideon, and beat down, and Jephthah, and Samuel, those judges, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now, Samuel says, therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. I believe that was, the Lord will sometimes give us what we ask for, even though it's not what we need. It's not what's supposed to happen. I don't know all about it here, but I know that the people had cried out unto Saul. But Saul was not the root of Jesse, which was prophesied about. And I believe the devil was working right there. I believe the devil was doing whatever he could right there to kind of feel like he had a foothold in getting Saul in there to be the king. But hear what the Lord says, what Samuel said, verse 14. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. King and no king, nothing changed. As far as the commandment goes, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king. I mean, it didn't commandment to the king, the commandment's to the people. Whatever the king does, the king does. Didn't say if the king fears the Lord and serves him. It says if ye will fear the Lord and serve him. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Wheat harvest time was not a time of storms and rain. Wheat harvest time was a time of, that's what we got in for the year. That was what we're going to bring in. That showed up how kind of prosperous you were. It was a kind of a time of celebration. But the Lord said, let me show you my power. Because it typically doesn't rain around here. It's typically pretty dry. I'm going to show you my power. And Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not.
Yeah.
They knew they'd messed up. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. This is what I really like. Verse 20 through 24. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. You've done all this stuff. Time and time and time again. You've done all these things, but fear not. And yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside. For then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver. For they are vain. Empty. That's what those things are. Anything outside of the Lord, anything that goes outside of that purview, anything that goes outside of that scope, anything that doesn't have anything to do with the Lord, anything that's out there under the sun is vanity. For the Lord will not forsake his people. Why? For his great name's sake.
Right.
Because you were good? Because you're going to be all right? Because you did anything? Because your mama did anything, because your daddy did anything, because of your fathers, because of your sons, because of the people coming behind you. No, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. That's because he wanted to. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. We didn't do a thing. We didn't deserve any of this. We didn't have nothing to do with it. We just showed up. And he did the rest. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. This is what I'll tell you tonight. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. We do indeed serve a great and powerful Lord who has time and time again delivered us from our own ways and troubles and things that we know of to do better of, and sometimes we just don't. But we have an opportunity to be aware of that and do better and walk better and know better with the Lord. We have to draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh unto us. And I pray that that's where we will try and stay as much as possible. I've given my best effort tonight, as feeble as it may be. I do appreciate your attention. If there was anything that was good here, please give all praise and honor and glory to the Lord. And anything outside of that, more than happy to speak to you. I love you all very much. God bless you. Thank you.
good, clear instruction. Thank the Lord for it. That was good. Thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
Good.